So I'm going to call to order this North Idaho City Council meeting. I'm going to call to order for February 11th, 2020. It is 7:01, and I'm going to ask the city planner to call the roll, please.
Councilmember Axel.
Here.
Councilmember Randolph.
Here.
Councilmember Norris.
Yep.
Councilmember
Lee.
Here. And Councilmember Whitcomb. Yeah. Well, thank you for that, and I'll ask everybody to stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you for that. Moving on. Agenda changes and additions. Does anybody have anything? I'm sorry. I don't know if there's any coffee in there.
You weren't here to make it.
No. We already drank it. We already made it. So any agenda changes or additions? Hearing none? I have some. And I'm sorry for that, but it was a big day.
What?
It was a big day, I'm sorry. So I'd like to add to new business a review of a pump quote that just came in. That's really important that everybody looks at. Yeah, that's a new. And then also a Valmont. We talked to a gentleman today, but they'd like to install something, and we'll talk about it. I'd like to add that.
What?
Oh, no, he's with
Valmont? Yeah. That idea.
What would you
tell Valmont?
Okay, so that's something that is a good news for city. And and the other thing that's really super important that came up today, we need to add to unfinished business. We have some serious issues at the PDA that need addressed right now. So we add that to unfinished business. And moving along, then I'm going to ask, we're going to consent agenda, and ask that a motion be made for the approval of the January 28th meeting minutes, and approval of the February 1st half vouchers in the sum of $18,971.86. Is that a motion?
I make a motion to approve the January 28th meeting minutes. And approval of the February 1st half vouchers of $18,971.86.
Excellent. Second?
Yes, second.
Thanks, John. Any discussion? Hearing none?
Yes.
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 Thank you, folks. Moving on. And tonight we're lucky to have Ryan Bolins from the Port of Cascade Locks. He's going to give us an update on a bridge update with the new tool, whatever. So, Ryan, if you'd like to take the podium.
Well, good to be here tonight. Again, just that time with Ryan Bolins, manager of the bridge for the Port of Cascade Lock. And the reason why I'm here tonight is just for a couple updates on the Bridge of the God. The first thing we had, last summer we had a log truck come across, strike the bridge, I think it was mid-June. Overhead strike, so the trailer of the log truck was kind of stacked up, he was over height, and he caught one of the overhead portal braces and damaged that quite a bit. So if you guys cross the bridge fairly regularly, you'll probably notice the damage. It's the second portal brace coming from the Washington site here, where it is. There's a lot of distortion and damage there. So the engineers have been putting together a plan to repair that. We just put that out to bid. We've got three contractors that bid on that. We have to select a contractor to get that repair done. But in doing that work, we know there's going to be an impact to commuters and people on the side of the, on the river, you know, getting to work, crossing the bridge. There's going to be some closures on the bridge while they repair that. The time frame of that work will be, it'll be the end of April to about the first week of May. Once we get the contractor on board and work on the schedule, we'll have more details. But within the contract, it's written in to have, I think, 15 nighttime closures, which basically means they have about 3 weeks to complete the job. And the work should be done at nighttime. So we don't plan to have any closures during the day. All the closures would be nighttime closures between 9:30 p.m. and 5:30 a.m. Sunday through Thursday. If they have to work on a weekend, that closure time would be 10:30 p.m. to 6:30 a.m. So everything is moved back an hour. There shouldn't be much going on during the daytime. They might be out there a little bit for the project, for the measurements on some of the pieces out there that they have to fabricate, but that would be kind of flag work, so they'll be rotating traffic through during the daytime. So, if they're not doing that repair period, if they're not doing work on the bridge will be open. Emergency vehicles will still be able to get through. So if there's a closure, and an ambulance needs to come through, they will move out of the way and accommodate them across the bridge in that situation. So, but just wanted to let everyone here know ahead of time that's coming. We got to get the repair done. And we just felt the best way, we talked about doing some closures at the daytime, but then our commission wanted to have in lieu of an impact to the community as possible in terms of the closures. We realize how that affects people getting across the bridge. So that was the reason for all the nighttime work. So any questions on that repair work or the closure? Again, when we get closer to that time frame, I'll have more specific dates, but we can expect, like I said, they have 15 closures to take advantage of. So within three weeks. So I'd expect it to take 2 or 3 weeks to get that done. The next thing I wanted to talk about is just the Breezeline toll technology at the bridge. So that's something that we've been working on for 2 or 3 years now, getting tolling technology at the bridge. As we kind of went through the process of exploring what the best option, we realized that a partnership with the Port Hood River was the best financially for the Port of Cascade Lock to partner with them. That was the best deal. And then in terms of for the community, we felt like that was the right thing to do. And, instead of, if we developed our own technology, at the Bridge of the Gods, and it would end up requiring customers and the gorge to have essentially two different transponders and two accounts for the vehicle. We didn't want to do that. So anyway, that was the reasoning behind the partnership with the Ford and River. We went live on the 6th of January. So we've been live for just over a month now. We are currently at about 50% of our traffic that goes through with the transponder. So that was much quicker in getting to that point than we expected. We expected, 3 or 4 months to get to that level. So we're very happy, because really the effectiveness of this whole technology is dependent upon getting a good portion of the public with that transponder. We want more people that are breathing through, they're going through the toll facility much quicker. That really helps us be more efficient. Because the goal in that is getting vehicles across the bridge more efficiently. With the growth in the gorge, especially during the summer, it's ridiculous sometimes on a Friday evening, the lines and how long it takes to get across the bridge. So we know this is going to help. We also know that not every tourist that comes to town is not going to have a transponder, right? Even if we have a good portion of our locals here with a transponder, we're going to speed it up that much. Each person that goes through, we're not having to take a credit card or handle cash or have some kind of a transaction. That's time that we're saving to get people across the bridge. So, of course, with that, it replaces the local sticker in the transponder. Or in the coupon book. So local stickers expired February 3rd, so those are no longer valid. Coupon books we don't sell anymore, but people with remaining coupons can continue to use those until those run out. And then, of course, the rate went up 25 cents. So the Breezeline rate is now $1.25 versus the $1. The commission, that 25 cent increase went into effect on the 6th of January with this whole technology opening. And that's to pay for the operation of that system. So it costs support about $300,000 a year for maintenance contracts, the agreement with Port of the River, just the operation of that technology. So with that 25-cent increase, the port will probably get about 200,000 back in the course of the year. So not even enough to pay for the entire operation of that, but a good portion of that. Let's see. Oh, one other thing I wanted to mention too is just with the bridge right now, we have people, you know, traditionally you would stop and pay your toll on the bridge. So now we have people that are, you know, kind of going through. We want to make sure that we keep the speeds down. You know, the posted speed on the bridge is 15, but at the toll booth it's 5 miles an hour. That's kind of the expected speed going through the toll booth. You know, we do have pedestrians on the bridge, more so during the summertime. We've got a crosswalk right there. So we just want to make sure that the public going through there is going through there not too fast. You know, we have, within the toll technology, we have a monitor inside the toll booth that, you know, it'll identify the speed as people come through the toll booth and, you know, a variety of information. But, you know, we're seeing people 15, 20 miles an hour as they're leaving the toll booth, you know. So those are, we just want to get the message out to those folks to kind of slow down and try and keep it closer to 5 miles an hour. So, but, you know, it's a little bit of a change for everyone. Everyone's kind of used to stopping at the toll booth, and now you get a green light. So I think people tend to want to punch it and go, you know, as soon as they see that green light. So any questions about the toll technology? Any feedback for the port?
Yeah, you mentioned the cost of the whole thing was going to be $300,000.
That's for the operation and annual cost.
Annual cost. It's annual cost, and you're going to recoup $200,000. You figure the first year.
With our guess is that 25-cent toll increase that is applied, that will generate an extra about $200,000 worth of.
Oh, over and above.
No. So $200,000 total. So not even enough to cover the expense of that. But they didn't want a huge increase to locals, so they kept it at 25 cents. You know, in order to recoup that whole $300,000 every year, you would have to, you know, it would have been 40 cents or something greater than that.
I have some
sure.
feedback. I can appreciate the toll increase, but Hood River's toll is still $1.
Right.
So I found myself just changing my habits when I went over to Hood River,
right,
because they offer a cheaper price.
Sure.
So I think that's something to keep in mind. I know a lot of people who go over to Hood River, and now just bypassing the bridge and going together in favor of the.
Sure.
You commute on a daily basis, you know, the extra 50 cents a day, that's a lot. So.
Yeah, well, you know, the port doesn't have any issue with that. You know, I think you may spend more on gas getting there, depending on where you live, but, you know, everyone's choice to use which bridge they prefer, you know, and that, you know, the port understands that, but, you know, really, it's trying to recoup the cost of that toll technology, you know. And I can tell you that the commission really, they put a lot of thought into the toll increases. So they understand the impact that that has on people, especially people that have to commute a lot back and forth. So, yeah, appreciate the comment.
Are you planning on having a green sometime?
So the commission could eventually move in that direction. So there's really three options for the port with the future of the tolling. First option would be just to remain as we are right now, the current toll booth with the technology. Second option would be moving the toll booth, constructing a new toll booth, widening out enough of the road to create an additional lane, which is really right at the head of the PCT, where that parking lot, people cross the road to hit the PCT. That's the location we would have to move to. So that would be the only way, because right where we're at now, we don't have the space for additional lanes. So that's an alternative that we are looking at. But in doing that, we know it's expensive. It's about $6 million to the engineers put together, you know, kind of an estimate of that. So you're looking at $6 million to do that. The third option would be to fully automate the toll facility in the current location. And then, you know, the Port of Hood River may be moving towards this eventually. They just got some technology in for license plate capture, which means, you know, you would have maybe half of your commuters going through with the transponder, The other half, they travel through, they take the picture of your license plate, send you a bill in the mail, and then you pay your toll in that manner. Yeah, exactly. So I think the Port of the River is slowly moving towards that, in that direction. I think the issue, you know, you end up losing some jobs potentially at the toll booth, and that's something that most commissions don't want to have to do. So, but that would be certainly be an option for the port, and then everything is automated at that point, so nobody's stopping at the toll booth. So, you know, clearly things are going to be another step farther in efficiency. So those are really the three options that we have to explore in the near future. I think for us, we want to see with this new toll technology, you know, how does the summer go for us? What kind of an impact do we have on efficiency when we hit June, July, and we have, you know, thousands of people coming to the gorge? That's the big question. You know, we know it's not going to be perfect. You know, I know on a Friday at 5 o'clock, you're still going to have to wait to get across the bridge, unfortunately. But we do know that the efficiency is picking up. I can even see it now. It's not a busy time of year, but I see people getting across quicker, mostly in the morning and the afternoon commutes. You know, the people who are crossing the bridge to get to and from work typically are the ones that are getting the transponders. So, but that's kind of really the options that we have for the future. And the commission will end up deciding, you know, which direction to go. But, you know, it makes sense to build an extra lane, but again, that $5, $6 million project is very expensive to fund. So. Yeah.
So is it $300,000 a year that it costs, or $300,000 one time?
That's the operation cost a year.
So if you're only generating $200,000, how are you going to make up the $100,000?
Port will pay that extra $100,000.
Why would you do the technology if it's going to cost you $100,000 a year?
It's a service to the community. I mean, the goal is to improve the efficiency, you know.
Obviously, in a business, how can you afford to write off $100,000?
Well, it's not a business. The technology is not there to make money. I mean, that's not what that's there.
You got to pay for maintenance now too for the facility, though.
We'll always have to do that. Yeah, I mean, like I said, the goal is to improve the efficiency, get people, you know, so people not having to wait forever to get across the bridge, you know. And the port could have raised the toll to 50 cents for, you know, it could have been 250 for a breeze by, but. Like I said, they don't want to have put that much of an impact on the locals here. They figured 25 cents was enough in terms of that increase. So.
I think they're going to make a whole bunch of money anyway, right? The cash outlay is $2 now to cross the bridge, just a vehicle. You've got trucks going across that thing. I mean, that's a huge amount of money.
Even the port always makes money off tolls.
Yeah.
We're making, like I said, with the extra 25 cents, because that was really the only increase that we had in 25 cents per, you know, whether it's you're driving a car or a reactive truck, it's 25 cents more than what it previously was.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, that generates a couple hundred $1,000s a year to pay for the majority of the operational costs.
Right, you're not going to lose money, really.
No. You know, it's a small piece that the port will have to fund for that extra $100,000. You know?
Fund is a better word than...
Sure.
So going into this, did you know there was going to be a $300,000 a year
cost
of this? Because when you were here last time, the question was asked to you, is the toll going to increase as this goes in? You said no. That the river is raising their rates to match the Bridge of the Gods. And then we turned around and we got a 25 cent increase every time across the bridge for the locals. You know, if you're going to raise the 50 cents for those who are paying $2, they can pay $2.50 and let the locals go buy the buck.
Okay. Well, the local key thing there is you have to have a transponder that only goes $1.25. If
right.
you're lazy like I am, I'd rather pay the $2 because I don't want to have $10 on my account just to use the super transponder.
I don't know. Now that I know the Hood River Bridge is only $1, I'm going to Hood River. I mean,
but how many miles and how much gas do you have to...
I drive the Toyota Yaris. I don't care about miles and gas.
And if you're going to Hood River anyway.
Right.
You're going to Washington State.
Right.
You're going to Portland.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
But there's a lot of people in this town who commute over to Hood River. That could be... I guess if you account for the loss revenue from those people changing their
community. You know, it's really hard to determine something like that. So it's hard to put a number on something like that, to be honest with you. You know. But back to your comment or question, you know, it's been a while since I've been out here. We spoke about toll technology a while in the past. And at that point, there was no indication that the commission was going to make that increase. But keep in mind, I have no control over when the commission decides to make a toll increase, it can happen quickly, or, you know, there's not a lot of heads up when that happens. So, you know, I don't have control over when if they decide to make changes to the tolls. But when we started looking at the toll technology and the expense in that, that was the decision they ended up making, was to try and increase 25 cents. That they realized that generally local people are going to be using that technology, and that's where that increase went. So
you just made it easier for me to go to Vancouver instead of going that way. I go this way because I can save $4 and go that way.
So to get to Portland, or
it's easier to shop in Vancouver.
Just wait, they're going to start tolling 205 and I-5.
Wait until 205 to get to Vancouver.
No, but to Portland.
Yeah, they probably will one day.
Come back.
They've been talking about it for years. It'll be nice.
Washington doesn't have tolls. They're getting there before they pull.
We'll also go that way, so if they get Dan 14 when you get stuck in it, so sharp, you take no longer.
Well, you don't ride with me.
Any other questions for Ryan? Any other questions for Ryan? He's Ryan, we appreciate you coming over. We appreciate you filming it.
Thank you.
I'll
try to come out more often as well.
Please. You're always welcome. We appreciate it. Thank you, Ryan. All right, moving on. Public comment. Hearing none. We will get the last one. Greg, can you hit the last one?
Yeah.
You want to hit the last one? Can you do the last one, Greg?
Sure. Yeah,
okay. I want to give you some time up there. All right. Greg's got some important stuff to fill you everybody in. Councilmember comments?
Not at this time for me.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming.
Okay.
Ryan, good seeing you. So, appreciate it. That's all I have.
Okay. Mayor's comments. I wanted to fill everybody in. As everybody knows, the PUD has raised their rates. With that said, we put all these new lights in to save money. Well, the new rate change, it doesn't save us any more money. So, Our public works have got real creative. So what they did is they've relamped. They've actually put up brand new, with the excess ones we had for streetlights. They put out on timers or on. They put up 39 watt LEDs and took out the old 100 watt sodium pressure sodium or high pressure sodium bulbs, so we can save out there. They started revamping all the lights in here, going with the lighter, the LEDs. They're going to be doing the fire department, finishing up the fire department. We're going to do all the restrooms. We're going to try to save that money that we saved until the rate increase. So I just want to let everybody know we're trying to cut costs as best we can.
It was a little sticker shock.
I know. Okay, and now I'm going to move on to the chief administrator's administrative officer's report.
I think I didn't prepare a report today, but we are still working on preparing to do our IT overhaul. Now research 3 and finally got both back from my third one. I'm also doing checking out like, the document retention program that a lot of people offer, because our documents have been very back burner since we got here, because we're handling other things. But quite the shambles, so I'm working on a possible bunch of scanners so we can start to move towards electric piling. So I have 3 companies that we're comparing for that. Check out that last post. And we're finalizing looking at things to change our utility billing program, which we've had these 3 issues with a lot of them. Our outsourcing bill places missing several addresses. They're all in there and drive for this type of people. So I don't know if it's them or just me all, but still super glitchy and they're real pain and time. So still working on that change in our utility program. Other than that, Yeah.
The sidewalks were done in a kind of a
rich, classy,
beige.
Yeah.
Nice.
So Brian likes these doors, otherwise we would replace these. So saying maybe we should write letters to the city administrator regarding these ugly doors.
It's a good place to put wayward kids, believe me.
Well, we thought you just had one come of age and put her license, so that's
and the fact is, this is the first night she's driving at night. I'm really nervous.
Oh, yeah, look out on the road.
She's actually a very good driver. She's actually afraid to drive.
Okay.
Thank you for that report. We're going to turn over to our attorney. He has nothing at this point in time, but he will. He will be speaking soon.
The CLO.
Yeah,
CLO.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Okay, we're moving on to unfinished business and approval of the RISE EDC annual 2020 contract. As you remember, our illustrious councilman acting there, born the Scrivener there. So they revised it and brought it back for you to review.
They corrected the numbers. I already read that.
Yes, they did.
Hey, they match.
How about that?
I make a motion to approve the revised EDC annual 2020 contract. Not to exceed the sum of $3,347.50.
Twice.
Okay.
Two payments. It's still right there.
Oh, $6,695.
Here a second.
I'll second it.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Did we use them last year?
Yes.
Worth of value?
I think so. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? You know other? Call for the vote.
Jennifer.
Yes.
Jennifer Randall.
Yes.
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 Yeah. Thank you for that. Moving on, this is a big one. The PDA. I'm going to just quickly give everybody an insight of what's going on. Josh is going to talk about it. We had some excellent people stand up and go on that board just to fix it. But there are so many issues that's beyond us. And I don't want these people, these good people, or our good employees to have to suffer any repercussions for what's happened, because there's some serious issues that he's going to talk about. So with that said, I'm going to turn it over to Josh, and he's going to make a recommendation that's going to be pretty stern. So, Josh, you want to take it?
Yeah.
And by the way, sad to say, before everything came crashing in, Josh had our first balance sheet for us to look at.
Under our nose a little bit.
Take it away.
That's
a real one.
Awesome. Is it legit?
That's the problem.
Josh, take it away.
So, we've been in there for about 3 weeks now. And in that time, we've made a lot of progress. We've figuring stuff out. But it is one of those situations where we get one problem solved and five more crop up. A really good example of this is that balance sheet. It's not a realistic representation of the business, and we really have no way of ascertaining what is. They haven't been putting their liabilities into the books as they come in. They've only been putting the liabilities on the books as they've been paid. So, as a result, we don't know what debt we have and to whom we owe it. We just kind of get these surprises. So, a good example of a surprise is the public employee retirement system. Business hadn't paid into that in months. I think September was the last time they received a payment. The business was, the previous regime, if you will, was withholding those purse payments from employee checks, but not sending them off to the state, sending them off to the PERS. So we took their money, but we didn't send it to the state. and we now owe quite a lot of money. I think it's upwards of $9,000, which accrues interest at 12%.
Per month,
per day,
per pay period.
They haven't paid their state sales taxes on time, going back at least a quarter. So each month they've incurred late fees of $300-$400 because those payments weren't paid on time. We are current on state sales tax, state and local sales tax. We are not current on excise tax to the LCB. Now, the previous executive director, despite assuring the city that our board members were placed on that license, were not. So we don't really have a way of figuring out how to file these taxes with the state because the state won't talk to them because they're not on the license. Or figuring out how much we owe. I've been able to do a little digging around. It doesn't look like they've received payments for at least a quarter. The last correspondence I saw from the previous executive director of the state was in December, stating we owed $45,000. That was just for 1 month. There was a payment made of $16,000, but that wasn't the whole amount. In talking with the state, it's always been a hassle to get a hold of the executive director and to get payments occurred. Folks were chasing the executive director down for payments, and they just weren't made. Now, I personally had a choice to make here, because the PDA has obtained my services to help them turn this business around, turn this enterprise around for the benefit of the city. And I faced a personal choice where I could sit here and tell you guys that, oh, this is salvageable, this is savable, like I had in the past. I made those assertions simply because I believe that the previous board and the executive director were giving us the whole truth, but they weren't. They were hiding and obfuscating key pieces of information that would inform these decisions. So I could get up here and I could tell you this thing is salvageable, and I could continue to collect checks from the PDA, but I just can't in good conscience do that. I don't know if this thing is salvageable. I don't know how much debt this business has. I don't know what the obligations are. I don't know what the liabilities are. New things come up every day. You know, I come across circumstances where laws may have been broken. It's just not... And we've been in here 3 weeks. I don't know what else we're going to find.
Josh, how do they maintain a general ledger? Is it a physical ledger? Is it QuickBooks? Or
it's QuickBooks. And they didn't have the bank accounts connected to them either. So that was one of the first things we did, was connect the bank account to the ledger so we could start reconciling things.
Are they giving you access to the QuickBooks?
We do have access to the QuickBooks. The issue is that they weren't loading the liabilities into it. So let's say there was a $45,000 tax liability from the state. That never got put into QuickBooks. The only time it got put into QuickBooks is when they sent it, when they paid it.
Not entering it as an account payable?
Yeah.
So it doesn't appear anywhere.
It doesn't appear on the ledger. So when I was
just showing, it's just on the general ledger sheet when they make a payment?
Yeah. So when I was speaking with you guys this whole past 2019, I was looking at the records that were publicly available to us. That wasn't on there. We, unfortunately, were not being told the whole truth. And now we're getting in there, and now we're figuring out what's going on. And I think the thing that's really disappointing, the employees' purse didn't get paid. the state didn't get paid their taxes. But those loan payments went out on time, those lease payments went out on time, anyone associated with that business, they made sure they got their money on time. Meanwhile, employee paychecks are bouncing.
And they owe money to the LCB.
Yeah.
That's not good. So bad.
Yeah.
That's
not good.
The
first one was withheld from the employee paycheck.
Yeah.
Was any
PERS
paid?
No.
Not since September.
No employees were paid?
No employees were paid. We did find an inconsistency. The executive director put their name under another employee's name for PERS payments. And the PERS folks said that that would have had to have been manually done. It wouldn't be like an error that the system spat out, and that the PERS system goes off the name. So that's something that we're trying to fix with PERS to make sure that the employee gets what's rightfully theirs, or is at least accounted for what's rightfully theirs.
Well, I think, too, once the LCB, if they find out about that, they're going to shut it down.
So let me just say this. This board, these employees, we have some good employees that retained and we want to protect them. Here's our problem. We're finding out a loan for November we owe $43,000. Plus we owe for December
and
now January. So we're upwards of probably going to owe the LCB upwards of $60,000-$70,000, and there's no money. And these folks don't want to put their fingerprints on it. They can make the deals, but the bottom line with it, this thing is, there's a lot of issues here. I was just told tonight that there's a safe in one building that is supposed to, the receipts don't match what's supposed to be in there, like a few hundred dollars missing out of there. There's a lot of this stuff going on, and they just don't want to, I mean, they've done a great job. But there's so much owed, there's no money there to pay that. And that it's to the point.
County of how much is
there? And nobody understands. No, it's just every day.
I tried to figure out, like, how they've been tracking, like, loan payments on the existing obligations that we know we have, and they're the most backwards, janky spreadsheet.
But some of the loan payments and one of the lease payments was deducted automatically, was an automatic deduction. So some people are getting their money.
It's an automatic deduction fair much. And the risk.
But I think this thing is beyond the control of anybody to. It just really needs some legal looking into.
So do we need to get the law involved? Or?
I think
so. My feeling is that I think this would be best to go the receivership route. That would be my feeling. We've made a lot of progress. We have a plan in place to turn this thing around, but with the state and the creditors at our heels, there's just not enough runway. So I think the only option would be taking it into receivership to survive some time with those creditors, and maybe there's some value to be derived from this at the end of that process. Maybe there's not, but I don't want to see good, hard-working people in this store have the rug pulled out from under them and at least be able to give them some time to make other arrangements and find other employment opportunities. I can't get up here in good faith and tell you it's all fine and we're going to figure it out and we're going to fix it. We just weren't told the truth.
We've got auditors coming in the first of March, the first week of March. Brad Davidson and another guy. And they're going to be checking records going back 6 months.
Have you been able to find the 2019 records? Any records at all?
I've got a lot of records.
I mean, we've got the QuickBooks, we've got the ledgers, but again, I mean, there's a ton of unopened mail and There's a myriad of surprises in there. So we've got the records. I don't know if that's accurate. The information that we've uncovered so far suggests or not.
So there was unopened mail on the executive director's desk, and some of them were checks that were so far outdated they were no good anymore.
We had to send back in to have them resend the checks.
Yeah, so that's how long they were not even bothering opening their mail.
Even from the IRS.
Yeah.
Well, the statutes contemplate that, you know, if you have a PDA that is or is becoming insolvent, that the appropriate thing to do is to give the Superior Court jurisdiction and allow them to appoint either a trustee or a receiver. The one thing I'm trying to grasp is the executive director still employed there?
No, that position was eliminated.
Who is then managing the business at this point?
So I've been looking at just the books, that the day-to-day processing payroll, making sure sales are accounted for, and making sure that all of that stuff is being squared away.
We have two really good employees.
So, and the doors are open.
The doors are open.
Tiffany's kind of taken over the operational side of it. Steve's been doing a lot of the, and Mary have been doing a lot of the other.
Would you guys be able to stay in that capacity if I have the Superior Court judge take over jurisdiction and appoint somebody as a receiver? So if that happens, then you've got at least some protection, because, you know, the judge is going to be kind of monitoring everything. And you didn't put us there, obviously. You're trying to, you're trying to salvage what you can.
Well, our capacity in this, we're volunteers.
Right. I understand. And you know, the judge will want to make sure anybody who's spending time and effort on this gets, you know, some reasonable compensation. The judge would not expect people to do this for free. But it is a business, a retail business, that you know, in order for it to generate income, it has to be at the doors open and be running. Whether it has an existence or going concern, really, there are a lot of question marks there, because, for one thing, we don't even have, I mean, I haven't seen the balance sheet, but it doesn't sound like much of a balance sheet if you're not showing all the liabilities.
Yes, so, I mean, the sales are on there.
If there wasn't the liabilities, if this, from what they've done, they've cut back a lot. If there wasn't the liabilities that keep cropping up, this thing could, they could, it could fix itself.
We were very excited the other day when we got through everything and we saw the black ink.
Yeah.
And then it's just one surprise that, oh, the state didn't get paid the taxes. Well, all right, we still got a little bit of profit, and then LCB excise tax, and who knows what else is out there. I mean, we have advertisers coming after us for advertising agreements that were allegedly entered into with no real rhyme, reason, or record.
In the state of Oregon, for transit taxes, we don't do business in Oregon, but they're requiring transit taxes. Why they're paying those?
That's why you want to have a receiver who can get to the bottom of the finances, you know. I guess we're probably at that stage. I mean, as unfortunate as that seems, I don't know really, you know, what else we can do. I mean, the advantage of receivers, they have the authority of the court to get whatever they need from banks or, you know, the tax authority or whoever. But that's not cheap. I mean, that's the other thing is, you know, if they're doing this, are we going to drain it even more than it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's anything to be salvaged.
Well, that's a possibility. And the statute says that all the payments to creditors and so forth have to come from the assets of the business.
Yeah.
So the city cannot be in any position, fortunately, you know, to contribute toward this thing. So
it, no, what do we want?
Can you stop that automatic?
Kind of a statutory bankruptcy, if you will.
Yes.
Kind of like
it's a process.
And I'm worried about what's going to happen to the volunteers that have gotten so involved in this. What would, it looks to me like there's some serious legal stuff happened.
Well, I mean,
with malfeasance and stealing.
Yeah.
I mean, they're misuse
of funds.
They're trying to get out of it. You know, they're trying to help the business when it's really in the throes of, you know.
I know. I'm just worried. I don't want, you know, I don't want them to get in.
No, I understand. And, you know, one of the things we might be able to do, we, of course, might be able to do is obtain errors and omissions insurance for these folks who are, you know, providing their services so that nobody
they're
can come back and say
yeah.
they, you know, try to go after them personally for their efforts.
What about the people that put it in that position?
That's something that would be up to the trustee or receiver. If there was any kind of malfeasance, then it would be up to them to decide whether they want to talk to the prosecuting attorney.
But that's going to happen to receivership?
That would be the receiver who would, you know, they normally they're financial professionals of some kind, and they would have a pretty good idea whether something is amiss.
Do you think Josh would qualify as a receiver?
I don't know. He could certainly petition the court. I mean, that's the first step, is to petition the court to ask the receiver be appointed. The judge won't know really who is appropriate. We can make suggestions, and, you know, Josh might be a very good candidate. But I don't know who the judge ultimately would want to have appointed in that position.
I want to ask, though, is this out of your scope? The Lober?
I honestly, I don't know. I've got pretty good financial acumen. It's just the snowball effect of all of this. I can get this as a business turned around if there wasn't just the albatross with all of these surprise liabilities coming up.
Who provided this to you, Josh?
This we got, once we got access to QuickBooks, we were able to go in and print that off.
So you ran a balance sheet as a report?
Yeah, so once we got all the expenses and all of the sales for the month loaded in, I ran that report.
But there's all these phantom
liabilities that...
Okay, well...
I don't know where they stand, so...
Sorry to say, I don't know that we have a lot of options here.
That's why we're here. These people today, I can't put them through this.
So I cannot file a petition with the court unless I have counsel approval.
That's why we're here.
And so I would need that. If you want me to proceed with this, I need counsel approval to begin an action to seek a receiver under the Public Development Authority Act. So... I guess that's the next thing, like it or not.
Can I have a question? Can the LCB come in and shut it down with all this going on?
Probably.
I think they can.
They might want to, I mean, they might want to see, and I think it would probably provide notice to the LCB about what we're doing. And certainly, we expect it with all aspects of the government. We want to be completely on the up and up.
Absolutely.
Everybody
absolutely
knows what's going on.
But we need to protect white people.
Where your best kid is, because I'll look.
That's why we didn't want them to go any further back into this thing, because we don't want them to get their fingerprints on what's back there, because there's a lot of strings that can be pulled here.
Galloping.
A lot. I mean, Josh is just sitting a tip of the iceberg.
Something that you can just bump up against and a bunch of skeletons fall out.
The best way to do this is under the jurisdiction.
Yes. Everybody in the city, everybody needs protection. And the employees.
We'll report periodically to the judge about progress, and it'll be up to the judge to decide whether, you know, something else happens. I don't know exactly what, but, you know, I think everybody's objective is to make sure everybody involved in this thing who's an innocent party is made whole.
Yeah. But it's business as usual until, and we keep going business as usual,
But you really have a better chance of letting them, they'll let you keep going if you've got a, if you're going down across it.
Yeah, if you've got a plan.
If you're hiding something, yeah, they find out you're going
to.
If you let them know, I think we're trying to work with you.
Yeah, see, we do have a plan to get this thing turned around. We've reduced our numbers. I've been, you know. This Friday is going to mark a week since we reduced those hours. It's one of the first things I'm going to look at, you know, this weekend. Is okay. What was the sales like week over week? Did we keep the sales and shrink our overhead? That's going to be really helpful. And we do have plans and contingency in place to make tweaks to get this thing on the up and up.
But you got things hanging over your head that you did all the operating down in the world and get care of. You've got to take action.
Yeah.
Well, if you think we have 70,000 to one place, our little budget sheet over there doesn't even cover that. So.
Well, and plus, if you even measure the cost to go through this process,
oh, yeah. That's why I'm like, well.
But I don't know that you cannot do it at this point.
We have no option.
I think our hands are tied to a certain extent. I think, you know, months and months ago, we knew that this was a possibility. But until now, we didn't know how looming this really was.
Well, I think that's because we weren't getting all the answers.
Yeah, right.
The whole truth, nothing but the truth. Right.
We didn't get it. And then, you know,
we weren't getting access to this whole other thing.
Yeah,
January. I was going to say, I knew it was taking a while. I had already heard that you guys hadn't had access.
I'm still trying to get access to get into things that we still can't get into because we're not next or not on the block machine.
And this board has had, since they've been in there this few weeks, they've been having weekly meetings. We've been having weekly meetings, so I mean, they've been working on this.
Yeah.
They're committed, but I don't want them to get stuck into something that's going to create them a problem, personally. It's not worth it.
Well, not only that, but I'm going to bring this up. There's also been some damage done to the store while they've been working. The lighting was damaged.
I was asked about the lighting in the store when maintenance was working. And he said, well, it's too much of an issue. He said, he's worked on the lights for each one for over an hour. Well, I got all the lights in the back room working in 5 minutes. And then out in the front, I was took the cover off and they can cut the wires right beside the ballast because it's cheaper to replace the lights than it is the ballast.
The main thing is, I'm sure deals can be made with all these. I'm sure we don't want that because then we become more responsible for problems that happened before. There's a clear separation of when you started and when the last ended, and I don't want to bleed you guys into that side. But I also want to protect the employees. We have good employees left. We weeded out employees, they weeded out employees that were just bumps on the log. And you got good employees that are doing the job. And about half labor is what they were running.
It's in a position where it could be successful. It's just all the steps, all this crisis. There's no, it's like we're bumbling around in the dark here. And I'm really disappointed that the previous board just decided to up and resign the day before you had all asked them in here to answer questions. I think those people have a lot of information that can help us figure out what's going on here. But
I hope they can answer them in handcuffs.
I don't know what the situation is.
I know.
It's just one surprise after another. And if there's one lesson that the city can take away from this, it's so important to be looking and paying attention. And when you see something that off, say something and keep on fighting for what's right. Because I feel like, you know, the people of the city were really taken for a ride, and their good nature and their desire to trust people has led us into this situation where Lord knows what's going to come out tomorrow.
Well, that's the question. The employees that are still working there, are they key holders?
Yes.
Yes.
Should they be?
Yes.
I think so. Okay.
She's one of the store workers.
Well, I just want to make sure that we have as much control over access to records, to product, to cash, all that stuff, because it would be bad if any of that stuff, I mean, the situation got worse because we weren't monitoring.
Yeah, so there are systems in place for cash control, and I'm able to keep a pretty good eye on that. I am able to reconcile their sales charts with what they replenish to the ATM, with what goes in the vault, and what ultimately shows up at the bank. So there is a clear like paper trail that I'm able to follow there.
Daily.
Daily.
Do you have my email, Josh?
No, I don't.
We need to probably confer offline about the stuff I will need. And,
So you need a motion from counsel.
I will need a motion from counsel to authorize me to file a petition with the court to appoint a receiver for the PDA.
And I make a motion to approve the city attorney for the city of North Bonneville to petition the court for receivership of the PDA and Thought Shop.
I second.
Any questions, comments, otherwise? The McCall vote.
Counselor Ackman?
Yes.
Counselor Randall?
Yes.
Counselor
Murray?
Yes.
Counselor Lee?
Yes.
Counselor Whitman?
Yes, but I want to make it clear that I really would appreciate these people that have volunteered be protected in some way.
They will be.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, we'll make sure of that. We'll be make sure of that. Guaranteed. And excluding employees too. Guaranteed.
The other friends are flying drones in a night drone fly zone.
Whatever. Okay, that's passed through. Mary, did you have a question? Yeah. So go ahead. We had an emergency. Go ahead and go put it up in there.
North Bonneville.
Please, hold on a second.
We had another business called Bonneville Events LLC, which was, I guess, their idea of being cutesy and clever with the law, where they could sell the CBD products out of a separate office and then have a nice big 420 Evergreen sign outside the building, despite that sign being way too big, and the sign's actually illegal if it was for a marijuana dispensary. So the sign is for their CBD business, but they were having their employees waltz on over to the CBD business to sell stuff, even though they were employees of the cannabis club.
With no L&I, nothing. No tax, nothing. No F, nothing.
What was going on? So that business is, we have shut the doors on it. Yep. We sold it, but it's suspended.
It was attached to the PDA.
Good.
The original bill, the original reason for that company was in Washington State, they do not allow the sales of like merchandise, sweatshirts, t-shirts, hats, anything like that, inside the sale of the actual shops. So like other companies, farms, businesses have done is they create a secondary business that they can merge things out of so that they can sell their swag. And so that was the original reason
that
for the business was to be able to sit at these little events and say, hey, buy our swag, you know, which I still don't know where the profits would have gone for that whole thing. Maybe come out more for marketing. But I believe that that's where it was supposed to be directed. And then in June and July, some crazy thing with CBD came in involved, which never ever came across to us as being legal. That technically she was supposed to pay us for over there, but she never did. That it was only for a second, so it didn't matter. We all had questions, but that's originally what it was supposed to be.
So what was happening is they have an LLC, Ken, and they have merchandise up here. They have this LLC all set up with all the tax stuff. So they were sending employees, and somebody wanted to go on this. Close the store, go over here, as employees of this, into this LLC, sell the stuff, and then leave. And so this, when we went to set up an account, and then the credit union brought us our attention, wait a minute, you're supposed to be a going business there. If you're going to have employees there, you got to pay them out of that and have at least your all your taxes and your L&I, because it's a totally separate business. Totally an LLC.
Who was the owner of this separate business?
The Public Development
Authority.
Is there anything in the charter or the?
No.
We found it through the state on a license.
And then that's what we call
grand larceny.
I love you, Terry.
No, so what happened is, as soon as we caught wind of that, they had an emergency meeting and they suspended that. They can't do that.
No.
I just want to say something, Ryan. You don't have to sit through all this if you don't want to. I mean, I appreciate your patience. My goodness.
He said this is the most colorful meeting he's ever sat with.
And I forewarned them when they came in. Go ahead, Josh. You got one more.
We eliminated a couple of positions at the business.
The real one or the fake one?
The real one.
Okay, I'm just going to go both.
So we eliminated a couple of positions. One of the records that was not being kept fastidiously was time off. Records, time off accrued, time off taken. Certainly with ADP being the largest payroll provider, services provider in the country, our payroll platform did provide a platform to keep track of these, just wasn't used. So as we've eliminated positions, there's questions about the PTO that's those people. The other thing that came up is one of the positions we eliminated, it also came to light when that person requested their final check that they've been a resident of Oregon for the last God only knows how many years. However, it's my understanding that the executive director knew that this individual was a resident of Oregon, never updated their address. So the impact of this is that this individual is getting a paper check handed to him in the store, and the state of Washington believes he was a resident of Washington, and the state of Oregon didn't know anything about it, or about that income. So now we have to go back through the payroll records and amend all of those reports to report that income to Oregon.
And that's payroll.
And there's got to be payroll taxes, liabilities for the business to do that, as well as administrative costs with the payroll process. So it's just, these are the things that keep on coming
up. Quite red over there. He's got this look of just keep winning.
And again, this is the meeting condensed version. I'm serious. Am I not correct?
Yeah,
this is the condensed version. The more and more we look at it, how many times do you come in, Mary, to the office here to show me stuff? Daily, a couple, three times a day.
Daily.
Josh comes in. I mean, it's daily. It's on and on and on.
And I really believe
it's beyond us.
Transparency and honesty is the best policy here. So this is a public business. It was grossly mismanaged. Facts and the truth was hidden from the public.
So how did the public hold anybody accountable? I mean, other than you guys, because you guys are the ones that are helping us figure this out, but how did they get held accountable?
That was my question.
They just don't take care of anything. They just let it slide, hoping that it takes care of it.
That's why we need a court to decide that. That's way beyond our pay grade.
Somebody needs to get busted big time.
Run them out of town.
That's what the court needs to do.
I'll report when they're groaning.
And the really sad thing about this is that PDAs can be such positive vehicles for change and growth in communities. They really can be. And I don't want people to be soured on the fact on PDAs. But there was this situation, this
government entity was just captured. It was captured by people who, from where I'm standing, look to be more interested in their pocketbook and their bottom line than the city's.
Maybe we can get another interview with Rolling Stone.
Well, also because, you know...
You might.
This is the first business in the whole United States put together for the benefit of the city. That's the only one in the country. And here we are.
Just gone back to the Rolling Stone article. Sitting on the banks of the water.
You were receivership.
But nonetheless, that's what we need to. There you go. That is, we're going to have to get a bigger wall to put it up there.
Ken's first.
By the way, I should remind you that my rate for.
Oh,
I know.
Taxes are a bit higher.
Oh, no. 160.
But
240.
So 160 to 240?
$1.60.
Okay. So we're at $2.40. That's the bridge toll.
No. That's understandable. But this has to be dealt with. And has to be, it has to be dealt with. We have no choice. And that's why I don't believe why you're going to hurt your kids.
You've already sucked all the blood out of
the order. Let's have some order. Order. I'm calling for order.
So, anyways, Josh, anything else? We probably don't want to give any more bad news.
Thanks for listening to me, Brian. I'm sorry that I didn't have good news over here. I'm really disappointed. I really believed in this. I really believe we could.
I was telling you to go sit down. Jim, we could pay.
Don't want yourself.
Oh,
we could pay a forensic accountant to come in and look at.
That's too much, Josh.
I know.
Yeah, that's a bit.
Thousands.
Josh, I just want to say something in closing on this. Josh walked into my office and he said, "Brian, I can milk this out for a while, but I couldn't do it. My conscience is wild. We need to do something else." I appreciate what Josh did, what he's doing for his business. I appreciate his honesty, and I appreciate your hard work, Tiffany, to help us get that store, help these people, and I appreciate them. And that's why we need to protect them. They need to be protected. So it's going to be worth the money to get this thing going, Ken.
Again, I just don't really have a lot of options available, unfortunately.
Business as usual, and Joshua, you talk to Ken. It's already a going thing, yeah.
Wow.
All right, we're going to move on to nicer things.
In the meantime, can I ask...
Thanks, Ryan.
We got a new board established. What's going to... We can't get these people's names off the license. On the license. What's that?
And the other ones are still on. And the other people are still on and not.
Oh, so we're back to trusting someone who committed grand larceny, but...
No. We can't say that.
What can we do to...
They don't want to be on the license. I don't want my license. No. There's too much... That, maybe it's a blessing that they didn't get on it.
We have to work with RCD.
That's all going to be part of it.
Yeah.
And just throw ourselves at their mercy, exactly. And tell them everything that's happened, not leave one thing out,
mm-hmm.
and just ask them to help us through this process. And they want it to come out right. I mean, it involves losing the license. We have to work with our fellow government agencies hand in hand, and it's going to be up to the judge ultimately what happens with this. But we also want to show the judge, hey, we're not hiding any balls here. This is how we found it, and we need to try to unravel this problem.
We have went through the background check, the fingerprint, and everything. It's just that.
We have the license. Their license number is the same as the store's.
Okay.
But we're not owners.
So we're not owners.
They're not on as an ownership. That's what they weren't. They're not one of
the owners, right?
But the license has the board members' names as owners.
But we're all his owners, but we're not all his officers. We're all the licensed owners. Will you do that when you fill out the paperwork to send it in?
I believe you're on as officers, you're not on as owners.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas the previous
Mike Baker's owner. Still on there as an owner.
Robin, I have something besides water in there.
So,
wait a minute, Robin's still on the
list. Robin and Don, there's four or five. Eric.
Don and Eric?
Yep.
They weren't. Yeah. They weren't on.
Oh, they weren't?
Don was.
John's a big one. John's a big
I don't know if I want to hear it.
No, Adam?
When we got in there, okay. All of the previous board members still had access to their Gmail accounts. And on some of them, there were recent correspondence after they were taken off, after they resigned from the board. And one of the creditors was also getting end-of-day reports from the staff at the store. Which contained a lot of information that would have been helpful for the city to have that just wasn't provided. So I don't understand why Credo was privy to that information. But you guys, in your oversight capacity, it was deemed somehow by them that you were
excited. I have one question. A ton of stuff that's not, but we're all
so the box, when I told everybody the box with the little threads in it, is way too big now. And way too big.
Also, the LCD requires if you have board member changes, they give you 10 days to file for your new license.
She
has
shared
with us
already. Yeah,
I brought her into the office and asked, and she assured me she pulled everybody off because it has to be somebody on that license to prove it. And she assured me that I put him on and I pulled the others off, and they didn't.
Well, I mean, there may be a period that we basically just have to shut the door while we sort some of this stuff out. I'm concerned. I don't want to be in a position where we're operating this thing without a valid license.
We have one board member that is in the license, on the license. So we do, the board member Adam Schaefer is still owner of that license. That's what's keeping us going. Quite frankly, they couldn't even get into the checking accounts until he signed them on. I mean, all that stuff. But we still have one that can do that kind of operation. He's been at every meeting.
Okay, he's just lowered it. Okay.
He's been at every meeting. So, there you go, Ken.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Josh, are you good? Okay, we're going to move on and we're going to the road, but thank you, everybody. We're doing the right thing as far as I'm concerned. All right. So, moving on. So now, I put forward an approval of a consultant contract with Josh to provide us with these. This was before all this came up. To put forward, he's putting forward, it's in there. We wanted monthly updates, anything we wanted to know on as we move towards the sale. I wanted to take a little bit of the sting off the operation, and the city could help out with that because he's taking the time to come here to fill us in. I think we should still approve that contract for not to exceed $2,500. It's in your packet. Because there might be some things that we need him for, to work for.
So that this one here, personal services contractor?
Yes, that's Josh.
I make a motion to approve personal service contract through Josh. What is your last name?
His name is Joshua Tree. His LLC is up here.
Okay, I thought it was Josh Good.
It is, but he's an LLC.
Okay, Josh Good Tree LLC. Yeah, Josh Tree Creative LLC.
Thank you. Not to exceed.
Not to exceed $2,500.
One second.
Any comment or questions?
The tree thing was just throwing me off. I'm like, it says Josh Tree right here, but it doesn't say Josh Tree Creative LLC.
National Forest is Josh.
So we're approving this for the work that he's done?
Well, we're proving it because we may need Josh. Josh is going to have to report to us on it. We're going to need to put something into his coffers.
Looks like Josh is now going to be involved with Kim, and they're going to be trying to get all this stuff set up.
And there's going to be things he's going to need. He's going to have to keep us updated on what's going on. Once it goes into receivership, that'll maybe change. But for right now, we may need him for some things.
Okay.
It's not a big contract, but it's something. Any other questions, comments, or otherwise?
Josh, is that figure 2,500? Is that okay with you?
Yes, that's completely okay.
Let's cut him.
Two bottles of whiskey and $500 is pretty good.
But it's the good stuff.
Yeah.
I'd like to remind everybody the recorders are running. This is being recorded. Any comments? Mary, would you want...
I wanted to ask the lawyer, please keep in mind, employees first, and as soon as...
That question.
I don't know where that money is, but...
Right, I mean, they're required to retain that until it's paid to the state. So...
But they often say...
We don't know whether it's got an account somewhere.
Mm-mm.
It's just, it all went into
it's
the
gone.
General account.
And how much money is that?
It's right now.
I got the figure right here. $9,000.
No.
It's, yeah. Current account activity that she brought me today, they're in arrears of $9,287.43. Goes up 12%. Every pay period.
So when's the next pay period?
Coming up.
So can you believe the general account for that much?
Yeah, I have worked with this girl, and she has said that we can make payments.
Yeah,
that was another thing. She said she chased the executive director for 5 years.
She was at a point where she had called the mayor.
Yeah, she did.
That's why she had to call.
Yeah.
So LCB, I'm sorry, Ken, go ahead.
Work anything out if you can with them just to keep the dogs a day.
Yeah, if you can bleed it from one account.
Because again, these are things we're going to have to report to the court. We'll need the receiver to be able to create a real balance. The judge is not going to tolerate no accurate balance sheet.
So somehow.
So these are all, the other goose eggs are going to show up. That's just the nature
the PDA didn't question you.
Yeah, why did we not get...
Why was there no overseeing on the PDA?
Well, because we're not them.
Yeah.
Well, at one point in time, they were meetings every, quarter, and...
Twice a year.
I know, and... Two of the people were from the same somewhat household, family, whatever.
They had meetings twice a year. They were paying monthly payments for a room, $400 a month.
Yeah.
And utilities for the whole entire year. They only made 2 days a month.
So
a year.
I will be getting affidavits from each of you guys when I'm getting ready to file this thing, because it's going to all be part of the same package, and it's going to go through a little bit of the parade of horribles, but we don't know everything yet. I don't want to represent anything to the court that isn't 100% verifiable. But
I don't know what's going to come up tomorrow, so it's like a day-to-day thing.
Just keep track of it. Document everything that you
document,
see.
Document.
And make sure this guy knows.
Today was the straw that broke the camel's back, because she came in and we can't deal with it anymore. It's beyond what we can do. Let me just say this in closing. Since I've been mayor 2 years, I've been called by the PERS 3 times to tell them to call. I've been called by the state auditor's office 2x to ask them to call. And I've been called by the LCB 2x. Please tell them to call, because there was issues everything. But I rest my case. Moving on, everybody good? And thank you for your service of writing. Thank you very much. All right.
We have to
vote. Oh, yeah, vote, sorry.
Yes.
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 Okay, thank you. It's
knock yourself out, Ben.
Yep, and Josh worked with Ken. But you have worked with us too.
He's
for
really red right now.
We'll let you know. Yeah.
Blood pressure.
He's looking at
stroke over there.
He's looking at. He's looking at new coffee. Okay, we're moving on. Thanks, Josh. We'll keep you informed. Okay, review. We'll get through this quickly because I know our assistant party wants to review the WEC pump quote. This isn't a vote or anything. I just want people to review this for right now. So we have pump station. We have pump station, one of our newer pump stations. It's the last leg of pushing it in. Everything that comes goes into that pump station. And when they built that new pump station in 2010, they put pumps in there that were just about obsolete. And the city employees said, those are going to be obsolete. And they said, that's all we can afford. So they put those pumps in there. And we've had a lot of problems with them. But it's a good station. So we're looking at a more efficient pump.
What station?
The station one, yeah, but that pushes. That's the last. Every pump station pumps to that, and that's the last pump to the thing. So it affects everybody.
That's the last poop pusher. Good.
It's the last thing. So here's the deal. Those pumps run one direction. Those old pumps, and when stuff gets clogged in there, those pumps stop. And they get overheated, and they shut down, calling out the crew. So there's a new, and they're very expensive because they use a lot of energy. They're very, very, a lot of energy. There's a new pump out here that is on the market, and we wanted the guy to come by, and from Flight Pumps, he looked at it with our engineer. He says, we can put pumps in there that will use less electricity half. But when they get clogged, rather than stopping, they reverse themselves and push the clog out so that it's less problems. Yeah. And they're actually, hopefully everybody's had their dinner for a while, they're called grinder pumps. They grind things, so they're better.
Yeah, but when it reverses, pushes the clog out, it's going to come back in.
No, not when it reverses. It grinds. It does. It goes into grinding mode, chop mode.
Okay.
And then if it comes back in, it just keeps going until it unclogs itself.
It's a chopper.
It's a chopper. They call it grinder in the sewage business. Here's the deal.
It's a disposal.
Yes. Here's the deal with it. Now EDC. You talked about EDC. They want to work with us. Those pumps, that's the price, but that doesn't include they want to put in a safety kind of a lift thing for our people to get in and out of those pumps, a crane.
Why are you looking at me? I've seen them people over there.
You just, I can't. Which total the price would be about $60,000. Now, here's the deal. We have right now about $80,000 in reserves in our water sewer. I don't really want to spend it, but EDC has come up to us and they said, hey, we can get you. We have a loan with them now for the water tower. We still owe them $160,000. We've been paying that out for a lot of years. We pay $1,000 a month. They said, "Hey, we get you 2%, a little under 2% interest loan for that $60,000. If we wanted to go that way, and what my plan is to continue to keep our reserves, to hold those reserves, maybe add it to the loan we have, which wouldn't be much more than what we're doing now. But as we sign up new, because we've increased our hookup fees by almost double, as we do that, we pay that loan down. So we don't put out the money all at once. We borrow it, then we pay it off. That's something to chew on. Not like the garbage, or not like the sewage. This is something that's just a... But it's, no, I want you to think about it, because these pumps, right now one of our pumps is going bad. It's making noise. And to have it, I'll pull it and have it rebuild $10,000. And there's two down there. And we have one reserve backup one. But every time we pull it last year and we built one, $10,000, they've been wearing out. So save electricity, save the pumps, save the time to have to go in there. It might be worth our while to spend that $60,000, maybe borrow the money, low interest and pay it back as we get new hookups so we can keep our reserves. Something about we can talk about later, but if they do it, they can do it fairly quick. And all total costs will be about $60,000.
So what if we, how long would it take to build up the reserves again if we spent that $60,000?
Well, it depends on when we would have some new buildings.
That's good to have it in there though, Terry. If you ever had something catastrophic, you don't have to worry about getting a loan because you've got that taking place. But if another lift station goes out, God forbid, they do have the money to take care of it. If you used all those reserves, you don't have anything to fall down.
No, we have to get a loan.
So and come from hookups.
Yeah, that's where reserves come from, new hookups. And we did well this last 2 years.
That's why you got some in reserves now.
And then, if we didn't get any hookups, we could always, later on, if you felt the need, we could pay that off if we wanted to at any time. We have the reserves. But I'd rather hold on to the money in case, like Tom says, we need it for something, we have it.
Yeah.
Instead of having to wait. And what happened was when the EDC came in here and gave us the whole spiel about signing up, we basically asked them, what are you going to give us? What's in it for us? And they said, how about if we get you a 2% loan for something you need done? And we said, that sounds pretty good. Because that's really just taking, you got to borrow money for a short period without a whole lot of interest. Something to think about. But I'd like to bring it back next meeting and kind of talk about it a little bit more. And if you'd like it, have Devin in there.
Don't forget, you either have to use, for that amount of money, you have to use either a formal bidding process or a piggyback. So you might look at a piggyback. The state may have a purchasing deal with one or more vendors that have that sort of a pump.
And Flight,
they don't have to do the formal bidding.
That's a good point, because Flight is, this rep is the only one that, they may service many, many cities with this pump.
Then they may be on
that thing, and they will look, I'll look at that. Yes.
That's really good, because you get a good price, and then you have to go through the public bidding process.
Yes.
Now, if they're not on there, they could get on.
Well, there's other things, there's other public bidding groups that you can join that do piggybacking for this kind of utility stuff. But I imagine the state for this kind of thing might be a good place to start.
Okay. Well, look, I'll have more information when you come back. It's just something to think about.
Yeah.
Mainly think about, we don't have to do this, but if we're going to ever, and you saw in the newspaper, PUD got that money, and North Fondo's going to get that new substation, and so that means that County Ridge can be built up there, and that station needs a help because they connect into there. Now, one thing about that is if that goes up there and we get a big something up there, our new hookup fee for went from $15,000 to $200,000, and we're still lower in a lot of cities for that the bigger pipe.
Not a lot.
All in Vancouver.
All cities, yeah.
We were way behind.
Way behind, but we changed it. You changed that. So we get some. So anyway, we got good things coming. But that station has to be in good working order.
But the station has to be able to handle the motel that they want.
It has to handle the motel, and it has to handle the lease.
Yeah. Well, that's why they're always climbing down the hole over there.
I know. That station is obsolete. That's the next one.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on.
Good.
Then we have another guy coming today, and they gave us a proposal, as you can see right here, and that's something that Ken, I'll have to send you there. Mini tower. And what they think is that they could put it right, pull one of our street poles, put theirs in there with the light on it, and then put that, have that. What it is an enhancement. It can carry three carriers. They can carry like AT&T or Sprint or one of the cell carriers. They can put three of them into that pole and give a 1 mile radius a heck of a lot better service for your cell phone. Because we have so many dead spots here.
Verizon does really well. I don't know what's on.
So, but you have AT&T's. I mean, there's people that come in here. So that's kind of what they're wanting to do is put a pole out here. They build the apartment and then the people move in, the vendors move in. That's what that is.
Jim said we'd be the first small city to have it on my board.
They're talking to White Salmon, though. He said that, but they haven't said, no, 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 we're first.
We're first.
We're first.
Right.
We're first.
We're the first.
We're the first. Yeah. And they did a contract with Kelso, because he said, they did a contract, I'll send it to you. He sent me a word, they did a Kelso agreement, so.
Yeah, you could be,
yeah.
Kelso.
Yeah. So I guess, what we need to do is, we told them that we'd present it as just informational, to let you know what it is. It's going to go out here. It'll be a, it'll look like a street lamp with a long thing above it. It's a little taller.
Fatter.
It'll house three, whatever, whoever wants to move in, three different of the cell phone carriers. But one thing he told us really interesting, you can nod to this. He said now law, government, the law is that you can't stop upgrades of cell phones. You can stay where you want to, but you can't stop them.
Yeah, but I guess that's for existing towers,
right?
But you do have still some authority over new towers.
When we had a gentleman buy one of the buildings over here, and one of his he wanted to do with that building, which I thought was great, is he wanted, because there's a lot of people in town that work out of their house, and he wanted to put up a mini little office where they could have a cubicle, somebody answering phone. But the problem was nobody could get cell phone service around here. Well, that's, he's over here now. That would benefit somebody like that.
One mile radius. And so he located, he picked the spot that has the best for elevation and radius and most potential customers. And so,
I mean, you're looking at a tower on Highway Ridge too.
Right, but that's an AT&T one. That's only,
but they're not going to co-locate anymore.
Well, they might, but this one here
is the service.
It's
for more local. What is it? They call it.
Yeah, it's small cell.
So yeah,
a narrower.
Smaller radius. It's like smaller radius, but about higher. It's better than the big boys stuff with 5G.
No, it's only 4. It's only 4. But what he said was it would bring in, because they pay astronomical fees if you hook into one, like AT&T Sprint wants to hook into their towers, where this thing is just like an apartment complex. They build the building and they rent the spaces, so it's not that they like to get into those, the companies. So you might have a Verizon or somebody go into that, Sprint maybe,
there's
whoever.
There's AT&T, there's T-Mobile, there's, wherever.
Yeah.
Bruce?
Yeah, so that's what he, and I thought it was a great idea. So
have the generator complex and all that.
That's what he said, because he showed us one that was awful in a little city that just looked ugly as can be. But again, it was, he's a salesman. Of course, he would. Photoshopped, I'm sure. But anyway, so I told him I'd put it in front of you, and then he's going to get more of the details. Ken's going to look at the contract, because you need to do that to see what we need to do, franchise, whatever. And then we'll have more information the next time. But I wanted to put it in front of you so you could see it.
Good.
Okay?
I like it.
It sounds like he's ready to rumble as fast as we
Yeah.
Somebody
because they, all they have to do is take out our pole, put a pole, and use our thing. So
I've got,
and we get a little
got other cities, so.
I got one item.
Legal officers, though.
Yeah.
It looks from the photograph, where are you going to put it?
Those are different things.
I think it needs to be reinforced.
It's not going to be there.
Around
what they're talking about doing is taking it up on the street light on the other side of the road next to where the fiber optic is at. So it's over on the other side.
So what happened is he presented us to us, and we said, wait a minute, you got it shows us look like a street light. We have a street light right there. Why don't you use the street light?
Just put it over there.
And he goes, well, yeah, good.
It's a street light,
Yeah. So he wouldn't have to put up a new pole,
and then he wouldn't have to bore under the road with it because the fiber optic is pole there, the junction box. So he saves money, getting light, and everybody wins.
And that. That nice white Cadillac is not for sale.
Okay. You take a picture of your car.
Yeah. So, okay. All right. I'll bring that forward.
Is that one of the MGM
No, with this. Okay, moving forward.
You can still say that?
Okay. All right.
So
now let's get to the assistant chief would like to, has been waiting. He would like to talk about a quick meeting he has coming up. Yes.
Greg Johnson, this is Archie. Mine's not as interesting as what we just went through.
Oh. That's it, I'm going home.
Yeah. Last Thursday, North Bonneville Fire hosted the Skamania Emergency Radio Board and also the Emergency Medical. One of the things we covered was response districts. And there is a response district and an enhanced response district. And there's been some misunderstandings over the years, probably because of the fact that North Bonneville wasn't responding to a lot of calls, but Fire District 5 was taking those areas. So we had to kind of do a little belly bump and then tell them that, no, this is our area. And so the Sheriff's Department had this all worked out. And it's in the computer system when you call. It basically will pick out where you are, and then it puts out and knows exactly what, you know, what agencies call for a response. So we think we got that all figured out.
Mm-hmm.
So that went out real well. This Thursday, I'm going to be in a meeting with the Mid-Columbia Fire Prevention, and this will be up in the Dallas, Oregon. And it's a regional area, regional thing that's going to have all of... we're trying to have a lot of the departments all in the Columbia River Gorge area. So it'll give us some good access to other people, resources. They're going to know more about North Bonneville Fire and Rescue. And it's a lot about fire prevention. And that's one of the things I'm kind of working with, is that type of prevention. So there's going to be events to be coming on. Maybe during Gorge days, there might be something that might come up. Don't know yet. So, talking about that. So, you'll know about that, and I'll keep you posted on what we find out. So, that's going to be this Thursday at 5:30. And since I work in the Dells, you know, I'm not very hard to keep
so, report your mileage one way.
No. No, I do it all the time. Not a problem. But, anyhow, it's, I'll keep you informed what happens there, but I think it's another good avenue for us. And,
thank you. Thank you. Any other public comment? Yes, you do.
Can I tell us who you are, too, and where you live?
Keep your name and where you're from. Hi, I'm Sydney. Where am I from? Yeah. I'm from North Bonneville, Washington.
You don't sound proud of that.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, I wasn't trying to get exact. Okay. I'm I just wanted to kind of give you guys my appreciation. I know this has not been easy. I've had a lot of weight on my shoulders for the last 18 months, and unfortunately, I've been filling that out to anybody that I could possibly fill that out to. That was not the CDA. So, it's nice to be able to stand up here and say, like, thanks, you know, Steve, Josh, and Mary. Sorry, I might get a little emotional, because this is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Watching something that you love, that you didn't even realize that you loved, you standing in a position to separate yourself from, it really sucks, but I guess, you know, I had a lot to say. I just found out the information that was given to you guys as well. Last thing I knew is that we found, you know, Black Ink, which was so awesome. But I will tell you that we will still work very hard there. We will overcome what we have been dealt, unfortunately. We are not all the bad apples, which is why we still have 3 employees there. Brian, thank you for letting me expand everything. Okay. And I wish that I could have done it a lot sooner and that my voice was a little bit louder and that maybe I might have been able to push a little bit more issues. I didn't realize that, you know, kind of being a whistleblower was as hard as it is, you know, when you're still working in the same workplace that is also watching everything that you're doing or saying, or, you know, just kind of having those recorders on you constantly. And I guess it's really hard. So I guess what I'm saying is thank you. Thank you guys for pushing the issue and trying to get it to where it could possibly be something. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like that's the way it's placed, you know, where it's going to be headed. But I just appreciate you guys really looking out for us as employees and making sure that we're still able to do what we can while we can. So I cannot express enough appreciation for all of you guys.
Tiffany, thank you, and thank you for your service. And one thing, and the board, you guys were kept in the dark as much as everybody else. If anything, you were more in the dark. So you were doing your jobs, but so we appreciate.
Have felt the tension in the HO lift a lot since, you know, the last 3 weeks have kind of been a new awakening of what it could have been, kind of been led in a good direction from the very beginning, and that foundation not to be built on quicksand. So
you just keep doing what you're doing, because it's going to, the only good can come of it. It's going to, well, yeah, just keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it. Any other comments? Okay. Thank you, Jimmy. Closing council comments?
I'd like to thank everybody but Josh for coming today. The bearer of bad news. Still love you, buddy, but damn it.
I value on it.
Total transparency here, buddy. You're still the best, but why'd you have to come tonight? Nonetheless, thank you for the disappointing information. Worst night of my life as a city councilman. No, it's not that bad. But hopefully we can turn this around, going into receivership, and we can get this figured out and hold some of these previous people accountable to their negligence. Mm-hmm. To not only the company, but the people of this city and their employees. That's all I have to say.
You covered it.
Any other comments? Do you guys like our colors?
They're beautiful.
Jen did great.
Thank you. Here, no other. This meeting is adjourned.
8:42.
8:42.